Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for Pastor Shannon, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have a pastor who really, really, and I'm talking really, loves God.
Yeah.
And her spirit is alive and sharp. And we thank you for that, Lord. Not a lot of congregations out there really have that. And so we are thankful and grateful. Just pronounce a blessing upon you, Shannon. And may your words go into ears that would hear and eyes that would see. Lord, help us to change and shift, Father. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but there's always room to change.
Amen.
Always room to shift. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts individually in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless you guys. You know, I'm just going to say to the online folks, I don't know if, do we have a connection this morning for online, Rebecca? We are having some computer issues, and last week we had a crash and burn. So if you saw it and then it wasn't there, or you saw it and there was no sound, technology is wonderful till it doesn't work. And we sometimes come relying on it. So if you would just bear with us when you see that kind of thing happening. Sometimes there's just not much we can do about it. Well, has somebody has already declared it is winter. And it's pretty. And you know what I like about this time of year? I do like the Christmas lights, representing the light of the world. Now, there's all kinds of different, decorations and things that people put out that have forgotten what the season is about. But we haven't, and we get to announce it, and we get to enjoy what the season is about. I loved what Crystal shared this morning. It's time to celebrate. And if we have a spirit of ho-hum, or whatever, we need to embrace the Holy Spirit and the joy that is ours because of what we know about this season. This morning we're talking, you could barely see it up there, that word under there that's so faint, quiet, and still is peace. And last Sunday, Wendell Brown, thank you again, Wendell, for sharing. He shared on the first week of Advent, Wendy has shared with us this morning in the children's story, reminding us that Advent is about the coming or the arrival of. And this morning, we're speaking of the arrival of peace. Last week, when Wendell shared, he talked about the arrival of hope as he looked at the words of the prophetic words of the Old Testament. Those words planted seeds of hope in the Savior that was coming. But hope of what? Hope of the promise. He wasn't there yet, but it was hope of the promise. Hope of the one who was going to fulfill. Right from the garden, the promise was made. There will be one who's going to come, and he's going to crush the head of the serpent. Even though his heel is bruised, he's going to crush the head of the serpent. Let me see if I can get this to go forward. There we go. For unto us is born, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Listen to that word, given, the gift. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of course, that's from Isaiah 9:6. That word peace is a common word in many of the languages. Let's take a little look here. I am not a linguist in any way, shape, or form, so let's see if we can get this. In French, it's pay. Okay. In Croatian, you pronounce it the same way as you pronounce the word beer, mir. Look in Czech, mir. What do you think it is Let me see, what's my next one in Russian? Mir. So you already know it in four languages there. How about, what do you think? Okay, come on, Norwegians. What is the word peace in Norwegian? It is Fred. Fred. Okay, any Danish amongst us? Any idea what it might be? How about Fred? How about Dutch? I heard somebody already say it. It's Fred. Oh, that's Swedish, pardon me. That's Swedish. But in Dutch, is it the same? What do you think? It is, oh, Dutch. It's Vera, oh, sorry. And in German, I missed a, and in German, it is Frieda. So it's Freda in Dutch and Frieda in German. Whoops, I'm not sure what happened there. Hey. Things are happening weirdly. Keep going, okay. Aramaic. Salem. Let's see, can we get this to move? I don't know what's happening with... How about in Greek, and I know Crystal knows it, so I'm going to say, shh. Greek. Irene, yes. And of course in Hebrew, shalom. And so this morning we're going to focus on shalom, the Hebrew version of shalom. What is peace? Oh, there we go. Maybe. All right. Hebrew shalom. What is shalom? What do most people think shalom means or peace means? What comes to our minds? Well, there's the saying, peace be with you. No war. Absence of war. Calmness. Tranquility. What does it say when when someone says, oh, we finally have peace? No turmoil. Or we have arrived at a peace agreement. Both parties are satisfied. Peace statement or settlement. How about the idea of just simply we're living in peace times? If we're living in peace times, what does that mean? No war. Most of our modern time thinking, when we talk about peace, when you hear about peace in the media, it's a context of peace treaties and times of peace, the absence of war, the absence of conflict. And you know what? The Bible word shalom definitely refers to that, the absence of war and conflict. But it also holds so much more. Wendy shared that. So much more. And it directs us to the idea that there is something better than just no conflict. Excuse me a moment. There's also Kleenex. No conflict. The Old Testament word for peace, of course, is our shalom. And in the New Testament, it is the word, Greek word, irene. Now, if I put up here the definition of peace, oh my goodness. Right? I don't know if you can read it, probably not, but hey, you know how to get a hold of it on the internet. It means completeness, soundness, welfare, and of course, peace. Completeness in numbers. Nothing or no one missing. Safety, soundness in your body, welfare, health, and prosperity. Peace, quiet, tranquility, and contentment. Peace is in friendship, of human relationships, and with God, especially in a covenant relationship. Peace from war, and also in the adjective of peace. That is a peaceful lake. And it comes from the base word to be a covenant of peace, to be at peace, to make peace with, to cause, to be at peace, to live in peace, to be complete, to be sound, be finished. And I want you to hold on, say that, be finished.
Be finished.
Be finished.
Be finished.
Okay, you got it? What did I ask you to remember?
Be finished.
Perfect, okay. Be ended, be uninjured, to be complete, finished, to make safe, to make whole or good, restore and make compensation to, make good or pay, to requite, I can't say that one right. Requite, thank you. I look at it every time and I say it once and then I can't get it right again. Thank you. That's why I need you guys. Recompense, reward, to be performed, to be repaid, to be requited. Requited, thank you. And to make an end of. Whew. It's not just an end to conflict and war. Shalom. And we call him the peace, Prince of Shalom. He's just not one. You see, that's the thing when people say, well, if Jesus, if God has peace with us, how come there's still war? Because we're looking at our perspective, not his definition of peace. And this morning, we're going to enter in to what our Prince of Peace has accomplished. So simply put, the meaning of shalom is complete, to be made whole. So an example of this would be like if you were to cut a stone for building a wall in a building, and that stone was perfect. It was whole in its shape, it had no cracks in it, no chips in it, there was nothing wrong with it, and it fit perfect. It can also mean to be complete, like building a stone wall. And the last stone is put in so that there is no gaps. None of the stones are missing. There's no holes in the wall. It is made whole and it is complete. In the Old Testament, in the laws, if your animal accidentally got into your neighbor's field and started chomping away on the crops, you were to shalom, make whole again their loss. You were to repay them for the loss that your animal, the damage your animal had done. That's a form of shalom. You take what is missing and you restore it to wholeness again. Let's say, how many of you ever remember playing baseball in the streets around your house? And oops, sorry, that's just a little ahead of, let me see here, I'll go back to that one, whoops, nope, maybe I won't, there should have been a picture there, but it might be a little bit later down. You're playing baseball in the streets, and you hit a ball, and it goes through your neighbor's window. Let me just see if I can find it here. Well, maybe it disappeared. Do you see a picture back there, guys, of a baseball coming through a window? Okay, coming through, yeah, there it is. And it shatters that window. And of course, if you had parents who were trying to teach you responsibility, they'd take you over to the neighbor, you'd apologize, hopefully they'd get your ball back. But then you would make arrangements to make that window whole again. It was your responsibility to correct the damage. That is a form of shalom. Making whole what was out of, was broken and out of alignment. Again, you know what? If you've had a car accident, and if it's your fault, it's your responsibility to pay for the repairs and damage of the other vehicle. Now, most of us have insurance nowadays, and if you complain about paying it every time you pay it until you have to use it to reimburse, and then you're thankful for it, right? Or you're thankful for other people having it if they've messed up your vehicle. You pay, you reimburse, you recompense that. And that's a form of shalom. How about human relationships? If you're holding a grudge against somebody, if you have unforgiveness, or you're offended and you won't participate in things because, well, I don't like them anymore, it could be your family, or maybe somebody has said something hurtful, or maybe you have said something hurtful. Maybe you're estranged from your family members. And when we step in to restore those relationships, we are bringing shalom, peace. Shalom is referring to something more than just the absence of conflict. It's referring to something that's got a lot of parts. And all these parts put together create a state of completeness. I think I might, can we move on? Does it go on? No, we're going to go forward here. Thank you. I'll go back to numbers. I know where it is now. A state of completeness. All these various parts coming together. Have you ever... Sorry, I just lost my place because the slide's being out of order for me. So when we look at what peace means to us, we're at peace when everything feels like it's coming together or like it has come together. But again, the world can disrupt that, and we're going to look at that in a minute. But let me ask you this. Okay. Let me go back. Let's see if I can go back. Go back to Numbers. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." We sing that song, the blessing. There is something about the wholeness of God that comes that isn't the same as what the world offers us. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Again, far more than just no war, far more than just tranquility, far more. There's a wholeness and a completeness that he wants to bring into our lives. Let's see here. See if I can get, can we move on to the next slide? Have you ever asked somebody, "How are you doing?" and meant it? What are you asking them? You're asking them, "Are you well? Are you at peace in your body and your soul and your spirit? Are you whole?" is what you're asking. And quite often, if we're willing, we can sit and listen to someone share why they don't feel whole, why they don't feel complete, why they don't feel at peace. And we can speak into them and over them the shalom of God, the peace of God. Let me move on here. You see, the central idea of shalom or peace, it's really complex in our life. All the moving pieces, all the situations and relationships and different things that go on. Oops, I don't know. Okay, thank you, there it is. That's what makes us feel whole when these pieces come together. But what happens when one or two of them or many of them are out of line? Whoops, see, that's not in the right order. I apologize. This is not the right order. There seems to be, there, sorry. That's okay. I heard a message this morning about things not being perfect, and being okay with that. So what happens when things are missing and things are out of line in our life? It's not working the way it's supposed to. So what is really happening? We lose our peace. Our peace breaks down. We no longer feel whole. Or maybe we never have. And this is what the Prince of Peace came to restore. To restore to us the wholeness. Bring us into completeness. In fact, again, that's the basic meaning of shalom. Literally means to make complete or restore. Jesus, our Prince of Peace, is the one who came to do just that. I want you to think of the Old Testament where kingdoms were fighting and battling one another, and the word shalom there was meant when the battle stopped, when they stopped fighting, when there was peace. It also meant they started working together for the benefit of each other. Israel was meant to be the one who showed not only how to love God, but how to be at peace with other nations, how to bring peace to other nations. But they couldn't find peace in themselves. Amongst themselves, they battled, and they couldn't find peace with God because, well, we know time and again, they turned away from him. And no matter how hard God, well, not how hard, he didn't. That might not be quite, but God desired to be in relationship with them. They kept turning. And rather than being a model to other nations, they took on other nations' gods. And quite honestly, they lost their peace and eventually went into exile. And during that time is when our prophet Isaiah, now let me see if I can find it. Our prophet Isaiah, this is, again, out of order. There it is. Isaiah speaks of our Prince of Peace, and he says, out of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. The governments of that time, the kings and the kingdoms, they had no stability. Some were good kings and some weren't. And how about you in your walk with the Lord? Has it been up and down? A little bit of a roller coaster? Yes. Sure. But his government, his peace will never end. Because he doesn't give peace like the world gives peace. It doesn't come the way the world brings it. God made this wonderful covenant, and Ezekiel speaks to it about what's coming through Jesus. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. We are his sanctuary now, amen? And he will never leave us. Again from Isaiah, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. There's a great exchange that took place, folks. All this brokenness that we have, he said, we sang it this morning, lay your burdens on me, and let me give you my peace. And by his wounds, we are made whole. By his wounds, we have been brought into a new kingdom, a new life, as a new people. We come to Christmas and we celebrate this time. We celebrate. I don't care if you have the best Christmas gift remember the Sears catalog or off the internet. It doesn't matter. In fact, that's the least of it, because the best gift that was ever given was Jesus. The one who brings hope, the one who brings peace, and again, not just absence of conflict and war, but wholeness to us, completeness to us. The angels announced this to a handful of shepherds out just doing their day-to-day thing in the middle of a field with some smelly sheep. I don't think they're as bad as pigs, but I'm pretty sure they're not any nicer. And then a whole choir of angels do this. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, to those on whom his favor rests. Does his favor rest on you? Amen, it does. His favor rests on us. Jesus came to offer his shalom to all of us. And he said to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, my peace. I do not give to you as the world gives. If you're looking for it to come by the way of the world or the way they do things, it isn't going to happen. But if you look to him, don't let your hearts be troubled. What? And do not be afraid. His peace comes in a whole different manner. I'll tell you what, we can have peace one day in this country and the next day be at war, because that's the way of the world. But we can have peace with him, and if we keep focusing on him, not let our hearts be troubled, but take that trouble, those burdens, and lay it at his feet and say, thank you, Jesus, that you've taken care of that which is troubling me. Jesus made peace between us messed up, mixed up, troubled human beings and the God of all creation. And when he died on the cross, he took your place and my place. He took our messed up, mixed up humanity to that cross. And in exchange, he gave us his life. And when he rose from the dead, he has restored to wholeness our relationship with the Father. Restored to wholeness our relationship with one another. Now you say, wait a minute, wait a minute. You see, what he bought us was a place where reconciliation can happen. You see, we still have choice. He brought us to the place where the broken family can be restored, where we can finally be restored to our Heavenly Father. But we have a choice. He's never taken our freedom to choose. Whoever, I want you to think about the Father's love for us. What is my favorite word in the Bible? Lavished. It's not my favorite. I put it that way. I love because it's attached to the word love. We are lavished by his love. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much. He lavishes us with his love. His love for each one of us, his love for you is so immense that he was willing to give his one and only son, Jesus, that we might be restored to his family. You're not going to be able to read this, or maybe you can, but this is one of my favorite passages. I call it my mission passage, my life mission in the Lord. Starting at verse 16, it says, from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view, from our worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Hallelujah. The old is gone and the new is here. Now, you may have known me before I came to the Lord, but I want to tell you the new is here. I am not that person anymore. That person is dead and buried I am a new creation. You see, the Lord has brought wholeness to me. I'm learning to walk in that wholeness. I'm not there yet. And you can all say, yeah, amen. We see the chips and the cracks. But, I have a king who's brought my wholeness. In his kingdom, I am whole. And I'm learning to walk in that wholeness and fullness. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. And all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. What did he do? Reconciled, made whole again through Christ, and gave us the ministry of? Not only do we get to receive it, we get to give it. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Amen and amen and amen. Your sins are no longer counted against you. Oh, that left a whole bunch of you rejoicing. You know, you can go home and secretly dance in the bathroom with nobody looking if you need to. That alone is worth the praise and the celebration of what is happening in this season and throughout our whole lives. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. He's given us that message. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You're an ambassador of reconciliation. You are. I am. How many of us are going, what, me? Who, me? What? As though God were making his appeal through us, through you. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. I want to put a little highlight there, that we might become. It is a choice. It is a choice. And we get to choose that. But you see, the Prince of Peace has come. He has made us. He has restored us. He has made us complete. And we get to walk it out day by day. You see, how many of you know that when you pass from this world, you're going to heaven? Amen. Do you know that? Why do you know that? Do you know it because you walk it perfectly here? Or is it because he's perfect and has walked it perfect? It's in his completeness, and we're complete in him. What a thing to rejoice about. You can have peace in your heart. Wendell shared that this morning because of what he did. We have peace because of what he did, what he's done. The Apostle Paul puts it in Ephesians, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, that's the Jew and the Gentile, as he has destroyed the barriers, divided the wall of hostilities by setting aside in his flesh the law that and its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We have access to the Father because of what Jesus is. We have peace with the Father, our Heavenly Father, because of what Jesus did. He who was a complete human being, whole. And we were created to be that way, but we failed because of sin. But now through Jesus, that work is finished. Remember what I told you to remember from the definition? Be finished. Be finished. What did Jesus say on the cross before he died? It is finished. It is finished. That shalom It is finished. We have it. Praise God. I'm sorry. I hope you get that. It is finished. We are made complete in Him, and we celebrate. We celebrate this time of year because the Prince of Peace has come. Jesus is our priest. And He has given you and me His life as a free gift. For God so loved the world that He gave the gift of His only Son. So loved you. So loved you. So loved me that He gave Jesus. I have a question for you this morning. When we talk about God and His lavished love for you, His lavishing love for you, so loved you, have you made peace with God's love for you? And what do I mean by that? Where in your heart, even as believers, have you not reconciled with the love God has for you? Where in your heart are you holding back because of fear or doubt or hopelessness or disillusion or whatever is going on? Jesus made a place of reconciliation for you to simply come boldly before that throne of grace and mercy and say, Papa, I'm hurting here. I need to know the wholeness. I need to know your shalom in this area of my life. See, true peace, true shalom requires taking all that's broken and restoring it to wholeness. Whether it's in your lives or your relationship or in the world or whatever's going on, Jesus came to reconcile all things in heaven and earth. Restoring your shalom, your peace, through His death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. And as you trust in Him, His peace, His shalom will fill your heart. There will be that wholeness again. Let me see if I can get this to work. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect shalom. Shalom. Do you see that word perfect? It's the word shalom. And the word peace is shalom. You will keep him in perfect shalom, shalom, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. Because they trust you. Amen? Amen. Amen. My buzzer went about 5-10 minutes ago. Sorry. Why don't you stand with me? We, our Prince of Peace has come, amen?
Amen.
And He's worth celebrating.
Yes.
He is the hope that was promised. He is our peace. And as we go into the Christmas season, as we've already entered in, thank you, home group, who came and decorated for us, because we're celebrating Him. We're celebrating a King. We're making ready. I love it what Crystal shared. We're making ready our hearts to celebrate the wondrous truth that we have. Amen? Amen. Father, as we come before you, I thank you for who you are and what you've done. I thank you, Father, for the love that you have lavished on us. Father, you are good. You are perfect. And now I'm going to put on my glasses again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you shalom. Amen and amen. Go this week celebrating our King, our glorious Prince of Peace, and enjoy the season and make everybody hunger and thirst over the joy you have within. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Blessings.